Well, bless you, beautiful hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to Luke chapter 22. The Bible should be read and enjoyed, but most of all, it needs to be believed. There's a difference between study and research. Beloved of God Ministries is a healing and deliverance ministry. We're not a research ministry. We don't have access to the Codex Sinaiticus, the Paleolithics, and all these different things that a true researcher would necessarily need to review and check. But we do are able to read the scriptures and understand them. And we should study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, as far as our study will take us. There are ways to study the word, and I wanted to share some things as we go into this work we're doing on the last week of Jesus Christ's life, which I brought up. And of course, a lot of the churches are doing the same thing. But I thought it would be a good opportunity to show you some biblical research principles, as well as helping you to study. And it's not every time you read the scriptures you have to have all these different things, but there are ways so that you can comprehend and begin to gain a scope of the scriptures, a scope of the gospels and some of these other things, what's in those books and how to put it together. There are basic principles for comprehension in reading the Bible. One of the things that we will cover in this particular study is things that are similar do not make them identical. You'll find that with verses. You'll read a verse that sounds similar to a verse someplace else, and they may be similar, but they are not identical. Or situations or incidences are not identical. You may read about Jesus going to a particular city. I'm thinking in Jericho, it talks about when he's coming out of the city, there's the record of blind Bartimaeus. In another gospel record, there are two men. Are they the same or are they just similar situations? Are they identical or are they just only similar? We want to search it so that we can put it together and then truly put the things together that are identical, such as concerning the situation regarding and revolving around Peter's denials. One of the ways that I do this is I will take a concordance, for instance, and I want to look at the denials of Peter. So I'll look at the word deny. I'll see where it appears in Matthew. I'll see where it appears in Mark. I'll see where it appears in Luke and John. so that I can put it together. A lot of times while I'm doing this, I'll use 3x5 cards. And the reason I do use 3x5 cards to note things is so that I can put them in order easily sequentially. It would seem like the first thing that would happen would be in Matthew, and then the next thing that happened would be in Mark, and so on down the line. But it doesn't always go that way in the scriptures. There's a specific thing that God wants us to see in the Gospel of Matthew, as well he wants perhaps us to see another point of view or another aspect of the same thing in the Gospel of Mark. So then we can put it together. So I will do that. Also, if you have ribbons in your Bible, to put a ribbon in each one of the Gospels at that specific place so you can flip back and forth and get to where you're working. If not, bookmarks will work wonderfully. And also to have a tablet or piece of paper, something, some type of and some type of writing instrument nearby, because it will be a great aid to you. You might want to set it up in columns. In my study, I like to list who, what, where, and when. If you were a good cub reporter, I suppose you'd add in why for your story. But for me to place things, I want to know who was there or who was involved, what is the situation, where did it take place, and when. Sometimes that involves a specific time. Other times it just involves a, you know, kind of a sequence so I can get things down. This way I can order things, get it all ordered, and get it all set. So in approaching the denials of Peter, one of the important parts of getting the denials of Peter in a proper way is I want to look at Jesus' declaration to Peter of his denials and then see how they fit sequentially. To save you some time, now I've done a lot of the spade work, I guess, if you want to do it. I used to be faculty for a college teaching on the topic of the last week of Jesus Christ's life. And I've gone through this numbers and numbers of times, both in teaching and in working it in preparation. And I've taught this many times over the last 35 years or so. I've already gone through it. And to help you and conserve some time, I've already got things in a sequential way that I think will be of help to you. So if you'll go with me to Luke chapter 22, this record is the record that we're going to look at is the record of the Last Supper. This happened on what would be our Monday evening, the 11th of Nisan. Now, in going through this, in working the last week of Jesus Christ's life, there are other suppers, so we don't get them confused. On the 8th of Nisan, the beginning of the last week of Jesus Christ's life, Jesus had supper at the house of Lazarus in Bethany. Then on the 10th, he also had supper at the house of Simon the leper. And then Monday, the 11th, he has a Last Supper. The house at the one at Lazarus on the 8th of Nisan, one of the ways you can remember the record is that a woman anointed his head with oil. And the disciples got upset because it was expensive oil and they thought that they could do better things with the money. Sounds like our politicians. Then at the dinner or the supper at the house of Simon the leper, a woman anointed Jesus' feet with her tear bottle and wiped his feet with her tears. Really interesting, because Jesus was anointed head to foot. But one happened on the 8th, that was at the house of Lazarus. The other one happened at Simon the leper 2 days later on the 10th of Nisan. And now we're up to the Last Supper. This Last Supper, a lot of your theologians will say that it takes place at the place that Jesus sent his disciples out to prepare for the Passover, because when he sent them, he didn't know that he was not going to partake of the Passover with them. And so they got this location. Was it in the upper room at this location? I don't know. The word really doesn't say. It just tells us it was a supper. He had supper. Apparently he liked Bethany. Lazarus, he ate there, and Simon the leper, he ate there, and liked to visit that area, but it could have been another place. There are a lot of disciples, I'm sure, that invited him for supper and so forth, that would have room to take in the people, and it could well have happened in the upper room, but I don't know. It really doesn't say that. But what's important is it was the Last Supper that we want to focus on. So here we are in Luke chapter 22, and we'll begin in verse 14. And it says in Luke 22, verse 14, "And when the hour was come, he sat down with the 12 apostles and the 12 apostles with him." So they're sitting down to supper. The verse before talks about the Passover, but this is not the Passover. The Passover won't be until the 14th of Nisan. And when that hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Were there other people with them? Could have been. I mean, it seemed logical that they would have somebody serving the meal. I'm sure Jesus didn't, you know, wasn't there like a barbecue in the backyard cooking up steaks for everybody and that kind of thing. I'm sure they had somebody that sort of served around the table and did other things. And there could have been other disciples who partook of the meal with them. It tells us that the 12 apostles were with him, and that's an important point, but that may not have only been the ones on the guest list. "And he said unto them, with desire, I have desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer." That was his desire, but again, the Passover is not this evening. So Jesus Christ was our Passover that year. So we want to make sure, but it is the Last Supper. So there's some things that take place. He talks about and does a communion with them. I don't know necessarily if it's in the exact order of how the evening went as far as topics and so forth, but we'll work through all of this. Then in verse let's pick it up in verse 17. It says, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper." So this tells us when this took place, after supper, "saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayed me is with me on the table, and truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed." So he talks about the communion. He talks about his betrayal. Verse 23, "And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing." So, you know, they're having this meal, and he's talking about one's going to betray him. And, you know, they're wondering, is it me? Is it me? And speculation, I bet you it's him, or so on and so forth. Because the next thing it says, "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest." So they go from who's the betrayer to who's the greatest. Really something. I could have told him it's Muhammad Ali. But anyways, the mind of man is really quite a thing, isn't it? They're going from the betrayal to now who's the greatest? Who's the loser? Now we're going to find who's the greatest. Well, "and he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them." And they get into this thing about that. And after that, let's go to verse 31. So there's the talk of the communion. Then it's followed by the revealing of the betrayer. Then this follows an argument about who's the greatest. And then in verse 31, it says, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon," that's Peter. Remember, he's Simon Peter. "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." The words desired to have you is the word demanded. He's demanded to have you and sift you as wheat. Well, what does that mean? Well, in their culture, the farmers, what they would do is, you know, they would take the wheat stalks and they would thrash them until all of the seeds and things came off. And along with that would be the chaff, you know, the skin or the pieces of plant that surround the wheat and stuff like that. Then you would take the wheat and you'd have kind of like a box that had a screen bottom, and you would put the wheat into that, and you'd shift it back and forth. And what would happen is then the wheat would fall through the holes and you're left with a box of chaff. And that's what he's saying. You know, there is nothing redeeming about the adversary. He's the thief. Remember, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. There is no redeeming quality about anything that the devil does. It may seem to profit someone, but the cost of it is extremely poor. And what he wants to do is end up with nothing but chaff. And that's what he wanted to do to Peter. And you'll see a pretty good example of how even right in front of Jesus, he gets shifted around quite a bit. Well, verse 32, but I have prayed for thee, I prayed for you, that thy faith, thy believing fail not, and when thou art converted, do what?
Strengthen thy brethren.
Strengthen thy brethren. So Jesus sees the qualities in Peter's life. Jesus sees the abilities in Peter's life, and he's praying that Peter will be able to overcome these attacks. And you're going to see some of the attacks right there in front of Jesus. Goodness sakes. Anyways, he said, you know, and then you strengthen with your brethren. Then verse 33, and he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. Man, oh man, Peter. Goodness, he just said, hey. verse 34, and he, Jesus, said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Isn't that something? You want to talk about shaking out the wheat? Goodness sake. He says, this day, Peter, three times you're going to deny me, deny that you even know me. Well, I'll tell you what, that must have been like a bucket of cold water in Peter's face. I mean, look at the bold stand he makes. Look at what he announces. I'd go to prison with you. I'd even die for you. Well, bless his heart. And Jesus said, really? Before this day is over with, you're going to deny that you even know me three times. Well, something. Well, let's take a look at this. This is the first declaration that Jesus makes regarding Peter. So under who? Let's put Peter and Jesus. Under what? How about Peter denies it? Where is it? Well, it's at the supper. As far as location-wise, I don't know. But as far as time, I don't know the exact time, but I know it's after supper. So let's put that. So we have these markers, we have these boundary points, and we can start working things where they fit in regard to these boundary points. And then when? Well, it's after the communion, and really after the argument about who's the greatest. Okay? Now, why is this important? Because we want to make sure that we understand this happened at the place they had the supper, after the supper, And I want you to read verse 39 with me so we can sort of box this in and know when this took place. As we add details, it'll become very important. It says in verse 39, "And he, Jesus, came out and went as he was wont." Wont means he was accustomed to doing it. He did it a lot. "To the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him." So this is before they go to the Mount of Olives, but it's after supper. Got it? Okay, so we can put this in place. He went to the Mount of Olives a lot, and it's really a lovely place from what I understand. It overlooks Jerusalem. You're there. It's kind of like a park, maybe a public park-like setting, where Jesus would take his disciples. You can get quiet. I'm sure they prayed there. Great place to, sing hymns and things like that and look at Jerusalem and talk about the kingdom of God and that. Just a lovely place, and he liked to go there often. But this is before they went to the Mount of Olives. And on the Mount of Olives is the Garden of Gethsemane. That's the place they're going to ultimately go to. Okay, so we have this record here in Luke. The who is Peter and Jesus. The what is the denial. The where is at the supper. When after the supper. And before they leave to go to the Mount of Olives. Okay, now the next record we want to look at in sequence would be the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Beautiful. And in John chapter 13, and we'll look at it in verse, starting with verse 2, it says, "And supper being ended, again, this is the last supper. Don't confuse it with the supper at Lazarus's, nor confuse it with the supper at Simon the leper's. It happened around the same time frame. As regarding a week, but this is his last supper. So supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, don't confuse that. Judas's father was named Simon. It's not Simon Peter, okay? Want to make sure we have it clear. And it's not Simon the leper. Mm-hmm. It's another Simon, just common names. Mm-hmm. You know a lot of people that have the name John. You know a lot of people that might have the name Jim. And so on. So it's just that identifying him, Simon's son, to betray him. So here we have the situation where we're talking about the betrayal. Okay. And we've read a lot of that before. So and what's going to happen? Then Jesus does the washing of the feet. And then we'll pick up the record in verse 23. So Jesus talks again about the betrayal in verse 21. And we'll pick it up in verse 23. "Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved." A lot of people will say that was the Apostle John. It's a good possibility. He loved John, but he loved all his disciples. So we don't really know who this is. Like I say before, now we've changed. We've gone from apostles to disciples, and although an apostle is a disciple, it could include other people. But it doesn't quite tell us who it is, but whoever it was leaning on Jesus's chest. "Simon Peter, therefore, beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake regarding the betrayal." So he then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give the sop when I have dipped it." Now, you're talking about at least 12 men sitting around a table during a meal. Men don't sit there eating quietly. I'm sure there's a lot of noise going on and all of that. And it's become clearer to you in later on, maybe not during this teaching, but they didn't know that that would be the signal. So when Jesus dipped the sop and gave it to Judas, as you read in verse 26, Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give the sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. I don't think the other disciples actually caught who that was or understood what was going on. They might have seen Jesus give Judas the sop. I'm sure it was a loving gesture, and I'm sure he probably did that with other people, so they really didn't take notice. Because remember, they started saying, "Who is it? Is it him? Is it him? Is it me?" What, you know, going back and forth. So anyway, because verse 28 tells us, "Now no man at the table knew what intent he spake this unto him." So there's that situation. Okay. Well, so Peter asks who it is. Jesus gives Judas the sop. Then in verse 31, we'll go down. "Therefore, when he was gone out," meaning Judas, "Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him." So Jesus' glorification is coming up. Got it? "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." So he goes into this wonderful teaching and sharing, and that the disciples, he's presenting a new commandment. So this is really something. Verse 36, "Simon Peter saith unto him, Whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake?" "I'm going to lay down my life for your sake, Peter. You're not going to lay down your life for mine. I'm going to lay down my life for yours. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me three times. Well, here's another record. This one follows after after he sets the new commandment. And Peter says, I would lay down my life for you. No mention of prison here. So this is a different record and in a different time frame. So it's the second time during the supper that this is happening again. You got it? Boy, oh boy, Peter's pretty emphatic about it. You know, he jumps right into it again. And here Jesus is even more emphatic. He says, "Verily, verily, truly, truly," he repeats himself just to get an emphasis. "I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me three times." So here we have this record. Who is it? It's Jesus and Peter. Where? It's the location of the supper. What's taking place? Peter's denial is brought up again by Jesus Christ. That's the topic. When the supper had finished, remember he's going through all this, washing the feet and all of these different things. And a lot of other things take place, but I also want to point out to you here in John 18, if you'll go there with me. John 18, it says, verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. So it happened that after the supper, and I told you the different things that took place, the different conversations and all of that. It's after the supper, but it's before they go over the brook Kedron, and they'll be on the Mount of Olives heading toward this place where this garden, the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's going to end up with his disciples, okay? So there we have that record in the Gospel of John. Now let's take a look at Matthew chapter 26. Isn't this beautiful? Mm-hmm. We start to put this together. Not beautiful that the situation he's going through with Peter, but boy, oh boy, something. Well, Matthew chapter 26, and then we'll start in verse 20. It says, now when even was come, he sat down with the 12, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. So here we are, we're at the supper. Again, it's different from the supper on the 8th of Nisan at the home of Lazarus. It's different than the supper on the 10th of Nisan, which was at Simon the leper's. Lazarus, his head was anointed. Simon's, his feet were anointed. And all these things, but now he's at a different location. Could it be in Bethany? Possibly. He enjoyed Bethany. I don't know where it is, but I do know he had to cross the brook Kedron to get into the Mount of Olives. So that sort of helps us a little bit there. And this is the Last Supper. All the things that happened there, some are recorded here, that happened at this location are recorded here. There's the betrayal, the sop, the communion, all of that. And then in verse 30, let's pick it up here. In verse 30, it says, and when they had sung in him, they went out into the Mount of Olives. You have to go on the Mount of Olives to get to the Garden of Gethsemane. So we've read all of this, and it doesn't talk about the denial of Peter yet. But now they go out, and they sing a hymn, and now they're on the Mount of Olives, marching away, heading on up to the Garden of Gethsemane. Got it? Mm-hmm. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be what?
Offended.
My goodness. Now, the other two happened after the supper, but before they went to Gethsemane. Here they're on their way. This is a different situation, but Peter gets right onto the topic again. He just can't help himself. He just keeps throwing himself in there. Oh my goodness. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. How many times?
Three times.
You're going to deny me three times. Boy, oh boy, Peter, my goodness. I tell you what, it must have hit him like a bucket of cold water in the face. But he keeps coming back to the same topic. I am not going to do, you know, this big announcement. I'm not going to do this. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Now look at this. Likewise also said all the what?
Disciples.
This one now includes all the disciples. You know, Peter got on the bandwagon. He kept hitting this topic and hitting this topic, denying and denying and denying. And now he's got everybody. Mm-hmm. My, oh boy. You know, really something. I feel for the Lord Jesus Christ. Goodness sakes, he knows what's coming to him. And now all of his disciples are contradicting him. My, oh my, oh my. Oh, well. Here, Peter contradicts him, and now all of the disciples do what? Contradict him again. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Really something. Well, who is it? Well, it's Jesus, Peter, plus now all the disciples. What are we talking about? The denial. That Peter's going to deny Jesus. Where is it? It's on the Mount of Olives, not back where they had the supper. This is a different location. When? It's on the Mount of Olives before they get to the Garden of Gethsemane. Because verse 36 tells us, then they come to Gethsemane. Now, we have one more we're going to need to look at in depth that I also want to get to with you. But it's very clear, it's very easy to see that there's at least three times that Jesus confronted Peter regarding his denial, and Peter contradicts what Jesus said. Well, let's go to Mark 14. We have one more gospel to cover, and I want to go into this one with you before we close out today's sharing. I trust you've enjoyed it, but, you know, this is how you work it. And you want to make sure that you're not confusing the things that are similar, but they're not identical. They are like, but they're not one and the same. That you got that. The other thing is, you'll find another great principle that we've been operating here is scripture buildup. How something in one gospel can be said, and then maybe something a little bit different that adds to what went on, and then something else, and you can build from there. So we're covering these principles on studying the Bible. Now, I don't necessarily take a piece of paper and pen and who, what, and where every time I sit down and read the Bible. But there are times I want to study to show myself approved. And so I will do that. Really, really something. Well, here in Mark 14, we'll pick it up in verse 26. And it says, and when they had sung in hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. So this is after the supper, right? To get to the Mount of Olives, if they were in Jerusalem, they have to cross the Brook Kedron to get to the Mount of Olives. And to go up in the Mount of Olives, they have to go up there in order to get to the Garden of Gethsemane. So they sing this hymn, and they went out unto the Mount of Olives. So they're hiking along there. Okay. And Jesus saith unto them, verse 27, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. So we read that in the previous gospel. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. which we read in the previous gospel. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Well, this is a little bit different. Could it be another contradiction by Peter, another denial? It's a possibility. Could it be the same as the one in the gospel that we previously read? It could be. But there's something different here, and that is the addition of that word twice. And it goes on to say, and verse 30, and Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they, meaning the disciples, all. Now, could this be an addition or part of that conversation that they had on the Mount of Mount of Olives on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane? It could be. But just simply looking at a cursory glance here, Peter was confronted twice after supper about denying the Lord Jesus Christ. And now here's at least a third time, at least a third time, possibly a fourth, but at least a third. So that word twice cannot be referring to the number of times that Jesus had talked to Peter about this particular topic. So then what does that word twice mean? What is the indication of that word twice? Well, next week we'll get into Peter's denials, and we'll take a look and consider all of these different denials, and maybe we will see where that word twice should actually fit. We're not going to throw anything out of the word. We want to see it fit all the way through. So I'm looking forward to getting with you next week, and we cover the denials of Peter. Bless your hearts.